Hey guys, a quick note about this episode. My mic was a little hot. Sorry. Noted, and it'll be fixed for next time. And in the meantime, thank you so much for listening.
Hello, and welcome to Weed and Grub.
Good?
Yep.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Weed and Grub.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Jane.
My name is Mike Glazer. What up, MJ?
How's it going?
It's been an awesome birthday. It's been our birthday season.
Shared birthday season, Aries season. Yeah.
Yeah, back to back. Just celebrated mine. Yours is coming up Thursday, tomorrow. Well, this dropped Wednesday, so it'll be tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. It's been so fun.
It really has. It's been... I mean, you had a huge, huge show, like a giant show with cake and special guests, and your family flew out?
I know. Yeah. And they had a marvelous time. And we ate at a place called Providence, Ooh. Michelin stars, Ooh. Seafood, Japanese, sat at the chef's table, which was like right up on the kitchen, which was incredible.
The pictures of the food looked psychedelic.
Yeah, right?
They looked like mandala paintings of what your inner eye sees when you're tripping on mushrooms, like the most beautiful, colorful, bright, glorious, gorgeous bites.
Uh-huh. Yeah, popping greens. Oh. And then we did take mushrooms.
Yeah.
So why not just go from one to the other?
Happy birthday.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It's just the most fun thing to do. You know?
Take mushrooms outside in the beach?
Yeah, moonlight, full moon. Water, sand, mushrooms, felt great.
All night long. And we did, I did, like, because you went over and you said you saw me with my head in my hands and my hood above my head in front of the fireplace. And you're like, hey, dude, you good? And I'm just like, oh, yes. I'm so good. I'm so good right now.
I got into the water, like in a safe way. I mean, I didn't like go swimming at night by myself on mushrooms. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I did like get in the water up to like kind of my knees and let the water splash over me under the moon and kind of made some birthday wishes. And I have to say, it felt wonderful to be so entirely in my body in a way where I felt just completely content. While having like a wonderful visual effect of everything being enhanced, sharper, brighter.
Yes.
And like we laughed really hard.
Oh yeah.
At, you know, ridiculous things.
Yeah. Just being in this body was enough to like make me cackle and just be like, what is going on?
What's happening? It was great.
Why is this allowed? Yeah.
Yep.
And you were feeling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really an exciting way to be. I don't think I've ever experienced like loving myself like that.
It is, I don't know if I have either. I mean, not on that level, not the way I did with this particular mushroom experience, where I at one point sort of like looked at my hands and my you know, like touched my shoulders and like gave myself a little hug and was like, I feel good. I like being in my skin and I like being who I am. And I mean, what more could you ask for your birthday?
That's it, honestly. I did a joke tonight where I was like, yeah, I was on mushrooms the other night. And I'm like, I'm thankful I have enough skin to fit around my body. Like, why is that even possible? Thank you for having the right amount of skin. What a treat.
It was very expansive. I did feel bigger than my own body. That's true.
That's cool.
What a good point.
And you called the ocean like the heart, the beating heart of the earth. And I remember just writing that down because it felt so important at the time, just to be like, oh my God, the ocean is the earth's heart. It is.
It is. Yeah.
And you believe that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the, I don't know. I could get so deep into that and having just done mushrooms and feeling all philosophical about it. Like I could go way down that path. But yeah, if you think of the earth as a living organism and like, you know, the Gaia concept, the ocean and the tide is, you know, that is sort of the heartbeat.
What's the Gaia?
The Gaia concept is exactly that. The entire Earth, the whole planet, is a living organism, and all of the systems work together, just like all of your systems as a human being work together to make you a person.
Yeah.
The whole earth, the entire planet is a living organism.
And that concept is called Gaia?
The Gaia concept, yeah, that was written about pretty extensively by, I can't remember his name, I'll have to look him up and we'll put a link to it, but my dad gave me the book a long time ago. I think it was first written about by that one particular author who wrote Gaia in the 60s or 70s, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a core. The earth has a core.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And wow. It all works together. You know, all of the various aspects of the atmosphere and environment and geology are, you know, all different parts of one whole.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a deep part of that yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, electricity was firing out of your pores. It was cool. It was really cool to see you under the moonlight. And there was this like glowing silhouette because of the water reflecting off the ocean and just those white foamy waves crashing, and you were like, you looked like an alien glowing on the beach, and it was intensely wonderful to see, but also like eerie, because I was like, is that what she looks like all the time, and I can actually see her aura right now?
Whoa!
Is this her aura that I'm able to like recognize?
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I just standing in the waves, like I was wearing a sort of like a skirt with bare legs. And so I got in sort of like knee deep, and then the waves were splashing up all the way to the like bottom of my skirt. And as the waves were kind of coming in, my feet were sinking deeper into the sand, and the whole physical experience of sort of being embraced and by the waves and pulled into the ocean.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not in a scary way, but right. In this sort of like very, that really did feel like I was being, I don't know, just like soothed by the waves, and you know, there were like pelicans diving just off the shoreline that we could see in the moonlight, and
yeah,
the whole thing. And then we saw dolphins today.
That was the fucking best way to end that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Was just like, wait, what are those? Wait, what is all of that? And it was just what's the word for a tornado that Edgar Allan Poe uses? An underwater tornado? Maelstrom?
Maelstrom.
Maelstrom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
It was cool.
Oh, man. I've never... I want to go see more animals. Oh, and then check all of this out on our Instagram if you want to see, because we found out at Laguna Beach they have seals, a seal rescue.
Yeah.
And so we saw like seal pups being fed and being cared for back to health.
Yeah, the Pacific Marine Mammal Center in Laguna Beach rescues, rehabilitates, and releases sea creatures. I mean, seals mostly. So seals, sea lions, and...
Elephants?
Elephant seals and otters, I think, sometimes too. But today they just had sea lions and one fat harbor seal who's game in the system, man.
He's so game in the system.
That guy, they named him Lumiere, and he came in underweight, like at 20 some pounds a year ago.
Yeah, I have a picture and he looks, you know, sad.
And but he's been there a year and he now weighs 78 pounds and he'll only take hand-fed herring. Like they've tried everything. They've given him live fish and they've like given him the best flash frozen herring and they've tried cod and everything, and the only way he'll eat is if you hand feed him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Lumiere's like, oh, I'm not getting released.
Oh, yeah.
I got rescued and rehabilitated and now I live here.
Yeah. Mascot.
And he was so like super fat, just chilling.
Yeah. Did you see when he jumped out, you know, when they jump out of the water and they slide on their bellies?
Uh-huh.
He like real abrupt stop. Like there was no slide with that boy anymore. He did not glide smoothly through the like on top of the concrete anymore.
Lumiere.
Yeah.
It's just, that's it, man. That's his life.
Fuck yeah. He's mad respect. Anytime you have a chance to become a king, you want to take the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Simple as that.
It was great. It was great to see all those creatures just, you know, being fed and all the cool work that those people are doing at that center. Most of them are volunteers, which is amazing.
That is really great. Yeah. Everyone we talked to was so sweet. And it was like that one older woman, Carol's 1 year anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
And she made sure to like let everyone know that she's been volunteering for a year. She was sweet.
It's great. I loved it.
Yeah. Great way to end my birthday week and lead right into your birthday week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of perfect. And we ate some interesting, I don't know, I didn't love the oysters that we had, but it was always good to like slurp on some oysters as a celebration of any kind. I mean, if you're eating oysters, you're celebrating something, I feel like.
Absolutely. I think that if I were to have like a, oh, it's okay, I'm going to die, it would be white wine, oysters on the beach.
It's your last meal again.
Oh my God.
Yes. We already covered this. No. But white wine and oysters on the beach as a last meal sounds pretty poetic and incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just get like scooped up by a tsunami or something.
Yeah, or like a bunch of pelicans just dive bomb into my brain, back of
just
my head.
Just get taken out by a great white shark.
Yeah, on the beach.
Yeah. Well, I know that you said, I want to hear a little more about your dinner at Providence. Because you ate abalone, right?
Yes.
And abalone, the only thing I really know about abalone,
it's okay, we're high.
the gabalone. is that, you know, I have abalone shells. I don't know if I've ever seen one alive in the water, but my sister is a marine biologist, and she knows all sorts of people who work in different fisheries. And she had a friend who was working as an abalone diver, and he was killed by a great white.
Wow.
Yep. I don't think she knew him super well, but she, like, he was someone that she had met through the fisheries world. And the abalone fishery is one where the people are diving and collecting them by hand. So they're kind of hard to come by. So anyway, yeah, I want to hear about like your dinner and what you ate.
That's unbelievable. That adds a whole new level to getting that dish put in front of you, knowing that somebody, because I'll start over in a second, but I got to finish this to go back to the beginning to start over. When they put that dish in front of us and they describe what's on it and all, and now knowing that those abalones are hand plucked.
Yeah.
And that great white sharks are also plucking them, and to hear like things got, like there was a mix up.
Yeah.
There's a little misunderstanding between that person and that shark that the shark ended up on top on.
Well, the shark probably thought he was a seal, you know? Sharks aren't like hunting humans.
So my meal, it was at Providence with my dad and my brother, two Michelin stars, and we had the tasting menu. And I didn't know it, but I got in there and they said, "It's your birthday, right, Mike?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they walk us through the restaurant, open a secret door, and we go inside of a booth, and then there's a plexiglass wall, and we sit right in front of the kitchen and just watch the whole, watch them cook. And you just watch them cook in a huge, spotless, clean kitchen. The dance was remarkable, you know? It's like watching a ballet.
Yeah.
And we ate around 10 courses, seafood, Japanese and Spanish, the best seafood in the world, the most beautiful dishes. And it's on my Instagram. I don't know, because I feel like to talk about it, I wish there was a way to talk about it as if it didn't sound like, oh, you had to be there. Because then it just sounds like a dream. Do
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And nobody wants to hear about a dream.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you like pictures of food, I got some really good ones. And mm-hmm. the seafood was the most delicious, freshest in the world.
And it's worth going to look at it's like looking at paintings.
How about that, right?
You know, like
yeah.
gorgeous paintings that would hang in a museum.
It's the same reason I like to look at like flowers, like all those hybrid flowers mm-hmm. and like buds and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, this is nature and this was created and it's sticky and long hair and it's great.
Yeah.
And then you look at that dish in front of you and you see all the, I will say this about it, the technique involved was masterful. There's a reason it's two. I think it should be three. And as a expert in Michelin guide judging, it should be three, and I'm putting my foot down.
Is three the most that anyone can have?
Yeah.
Okay.
This place should have three.
How many, I wonder, in the world have three?
I don't know.
I don't think that many.
I don't think so either. Right. I mean, there's a reason it's hard to get one, right?
Yeah.
Let alone three?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the techniques involved at this place were just mind-boggling. You know, you would know because you were a cook on an Alaskan fishing boat. It's like, you know, when every single cube of potato is the exact same cube size, mm-hmm. and you know that it was done by one person with one knife mm-hmm. with the most precision you've ever seen in your fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the level of the game I was experiencing.
That's not how I cooked on a boat in Alaska, though. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But only from like eating at great restaurants, not because that's like how I made potatoes on the boat.
No. Yeah. I picture you like a pot falls on your head, you bang your foot, your head goes in a bucket, and you hear whoop, 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 whoop.
I did fall overboard once. There was some comedy. We'll have to get into that another time.
You don't want to quickly let everyone know that you fell overboard?
I went overboard. It was really embarrassing. I did it at a bad time. because we were docking the boat that we were on, which was a very large boat. And so like being between a large boat as it docks and the dock is not the best position to be in. Mm-hmm. Luckily, someone saw me go over and shouted to the captain, who was able to throw it in reverse, and they fished me out pretty quickly. But it was embarrassing.
Why'd you go over?
I tripped over the cleat as I was moving the line from port to starboard side to tie up.
Can you say it in a way I would get it?
we were supposed to tie up on the one side of the boat, the port side, which is the left.
Okay,
hand left side. Like if you're port. Looking at the bow, port is left.
Bow is front.
Yep.
So the left side.
Yeah, is your port side. And the right side is your starboard side. So front is bow, back is stern, left is port, right is starboard.
Okay.
And so we were coming in to tie up on the port side, and there was a boat that was in our spot. So we had to sort of reverse and pull out and go in to tie up on the starboard side. So I had to move the lines or the rope that you tie up the boat with from port to starboard side. And there's this huge cleat on the deck, and the deck was open to the elements. Like there was no bin board or gunwale or anything to keep you in. So I tripped over the cleat and just went into the water.
Oh,
and I had a premonition that I was going to go in right before I went overboard.
No,
like
shit.
I knew. Yep. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling.
Yeah. Those are always, yep.
It wasn't, I don't know if I've ever had another premonition. That was the one though. Like I was in the galley and the captain, John, shouted like, come, you know, we're ready to tie up. And I had this moment where I was like, I'm going to go overboard. And I was like, well, that's silly. And I shook it off. And 5 minutes later, I was in the water.
Your final destination.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, I was fine. I was just embarrassed. And
did you get hypothermia?
No, I mean, I was in the water for like not even 2 minutes, probably.
Yeah.
They fished me out really fast.
Good.
I was embarrassed more than anything, you know, and the skipper was upset because he had been so scared.
Absolutely.
So he was like that kind of mad where you're like, you scared me so bad. And I look bad because, you know, when you're the captain, like everything is your responsibility.
Yep.
And so it all reflects on him. And anyway, so that was the only time I went overboard. And I'm not the only one who's ever done it, so I don't feel bad.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Let's get into the huge controversy from last week with the final votes.
Oh man, I don't know if I can. I'm a little heartbroken.
It was so much drama.
I mean, like I at one point was just so convinced that nobody could ever possibly vote ranch. And then when it started creeping up and then ranch. So, well, we should get into it. Like it was ranch versus blue cheese.
Because we both have, I know that ranch is the best dressing in the world. Hands down, for anything from chicken to pizza to salad to putting it in a mug and slurping it down.
Oh my God. And I have never liked it. Not once. I've never had a well-made homemade ranch, I guess maybe is part of it. Like that's what I'm maybe understanding is that like I've only had like Kraft.
That's the best one.
Hidden Valley. Oh, it's disgusting. Oh,
and then you add a little bit of water and you shake it up to get the last remnants out of the bottle because, you know, you don't want to go buy a new one just yet.
I can't deal with it. It's just so like homemade blue cheese dressing, which I love to make with like mayonnaise and sour cream and lemon and blue cheese is just the most delicious thing. And on wings and in salads and everything, just like you say, it's on everything. And I've always been, I love blue cheese. I would never choose ranch. Was so surprised that ranch was even a contender. And then it beat
fucking won
blue cheese in the poll.
Yep. We had two polls, one on Instagram and one on Twitter. And on ranch won both.
I like crushed it on my IG story where I was like, if you're my friend, you should vote for me because blue cheese is the thing and Mike is wrong. And all your friends came on my Instagram story and voted for Rach. I was like, damn you.
We got to protect this house.
Oh,
killer bee swarm.
Oh, I was just so disheartened. And then blue cheese or ranch eked out a win on Twitter. It didn't crush.
That was mine. It was like 54% to 46% that ranch won. It was so close that I was nervous and I almost like created fake accounts to come in and vote. I was like, I gotta ramp this up a little bit.
Oh my God, is that a thing that people do?
I thought about it.
Whoa.
It was too close for me to be comfortable.
But that's
unethical.
And
I was so scared I was gonna lose. I didn't do it. I just thought real hard about it and almost did.
And it was like 74 votes or 80. I had a lot of votes. I mean, people were into the battle, so.
I think that's the fun is how everyone shared their own point of view and story. Like, I love some of the comments we got.
Holy smokes.
Regardless of you losing and.
Hey. Hey now.
Well-deserved call out. So knew what I was doing.
Hey now.
But the people who were sharing things like, I've upset a lot of people in my life taking the side of blue cheese. Or, wow, I can't believe all these ranch haters that I have to block now. Like, people got stirred up and it was so fun.
Yeah, there was only one, maybe there were one or two comments that came in that said, well, I like blue cheese for some things and ranch for others. Like, can't there, you know, how about both? And
no.
Well, I in the interest of like a truce, I had never heard of ranch on pizza. Mm-hmm. And someone wrote in and was like, yeah, you dip your pizza in ranch and it's great. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't want ranch on my freaking pizza. It sounds horrible, but
yeah,
I guess I should try it.
No, I don't know. I do know who you're talking about. And when they wrote that and you wrote, oh, that sounds like a happy medium. In my head, I was like, never. Like, it's black and white. Should we read it?
Yeah. You got
to
read this
story. I don't want to say their name because like you said, you were like, well, if they decide to delete this story, then we won't. So I won't say what it's on or anything. But we did get one comment from somebody and it went like this. In third grade, my mom made some pot cookies. I didn't know they were her special ones. I ate a lot of them and then ate a 24-ounce jar of blue cheese dressing with a spoon.
Oh.
The whole jar. I will never eat blue cheese again. Hashtag team ranch dressing all the way.
Oh my God. I mean, in fairness, I totally get it.
Yeah. Third grade. Just yeah. Dosed up.
You're just little in third grade.
And you're just mindlessly just spooning into your mouth.
Just a whole jar of blue cheese. I mean, you know, I remember being that age. I was probably 8 or 9. My parents were out after work. Like, they both kind of worked until like 5 or 6. So I'd come home after school and have a couple hours by myself in the house. Like you did back in the 80s, uh-huh. You know, latchkey kids. And I made this cheesecake that I found, like a box mix for somehow that didn't require cooking. Like, I think you just mixed it with milk and it was probably some like disgusting 80s product that's no longer available. But I made the whole thing, ate the entire cheesecake. And then my parents came home and they took us to a movie. And we went to see, there was like a Hitchcock film festival going on. We were watching Vertigo and then the cake hit and it had gone bad. Like it was a bad box mix. And I was vomiting, like projectile hurling in the movie theater. I just remember Hitchcock, the Vertigo, like that famous stare shot and just being like, my parents like having to leave the movie and take me home. But like, yeah, when you're 8 or 9, you do eat the whole thing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you're
high.
100 milligrams of
that poor child.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, I mean, so I took this round and I thought
you are gloating and I all right.
I love this is what I love doing with you is that we get in heated debates about like meatballs is coming up. We have to do meatballs.
I just can't lose again.
Well,
I don't like to lose.
I thought of something that happened today that steamed me up. Ooh. And so I kind of wanted to bring it up with you because we had strikingly different choices when it came to getting our coffee for the ride to go do mushrooms on the beach.
Yeah.
And I got a cold brew, just straight up coffee.
Yeah.
In a glass jar.
Bitter.
Right. And you got just this like creamy dream. of like a, you know, same amount of caffeine and everything. And I was like, do you want a sip of this? Yeah. And you take one sip and you look like a sad clown. Like you just got, and I was so taken aback. I was like, black coffee is the best thing in the world.
Well, for certain palates. And I know that I, God, you know, a really great espresso, like a really delicious hot espresso. I love black. When it has the crema on it and everything, but I don't like drip black coffee and I don't like cold brew black coffee. I love cold brew. I can drink it if it has sugar in it. See, I don't need milk in it, but it needs to be sweet.
Excuse me.
Well, just hit it. Hit that vape.
Okay. What's your dream cup of coffee? That's really what I want to know.
Oh, there's a really good one that I like. That is a cold brew, actually, that they serve at a place in Atwater Village. I can't remember the name of the cafe, but it's right on that main whatever that is, Glendale Boulevard or whatever it is that goes through Atwater Village, and it's a cardamom cold brew.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I sweeten it with a little agave or maple syrup. Mm-hmm. And that, I can totally drink black. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Best
well, what coffee. If you are making, what if you're making yourself your perfect sip?
The way my sister makes it.
What's that?
She makes a really great like drip coffee that her friend Sue roasts in Port Townsend at a place called Sunrise Coffee that mm-hmm. she owns and operates. So it's Sue's coffee, and Caroline makes it really strong, and then she heats the mug up with a little bit of milk in the microwave, and then she uses one of those little hand whisk things
yeah.
to zizz the milk and make it all frothy, and then she pours the coffee into that, and sometimes she'll serve it to me in bed when I'm there at Christmas.
Oh,
and it's like
gosh.
Getting woken up with hot frothy milk coffee is heaven.
That's like a legit Folgers. You wrap your both hands around the mug and take a deep sip, and they're like, we got it.
Yeah.
Cut. That's a wrap.
Yeah. What was the Folgers you know what I'm sorry, I'm so stoned. What is the Folgers, you know, like the best in every cup, or the, you know, the saying, the motto?
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Couldn't come up with it.
My best sip, mm-hmm. my favorite sip. I can't wait to hear what you think about this, because this is what I used to do in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I love sugar. Like, I love white sugar so much. And if I have any amount, it's game over for the rest of the day.
Wow.
Like, I just house sugar. So what I used to do is I would take coffee, and my parents make the weakest fucking coffee you've ever had. It's like for every half scoop of coffee, it's like 10 ounces of water. It looks like light brown, like almost olive skin.
Oof.
It's such a waste. And so whenever I would make my own coffee, it would be the most sticky, syrupy, like one long syrupy dark drip of coffee in the mug, and then I would take milk and I would cream it up till it was like a tan, and then I would take so much sugar, and this is my favorite part, that I would stir it a little bit to get it mixed in, but after I finished the cup, I would tilt it back like cereal milk, and I would just drink raw soaked sugar that was in the bottom of the cup, and I would just like drink down a mouthful of sugar.
Wow.
Mm.
I don't mind the way that sounds, because that's how I was, like, my dad made me tea. He made my sister and I would drink tea with dad growing up, and he would make it super strong and milky and full of sugar so that there would be grains of sugar
I
at the bottom,
that.
And you get that, like, sticky last sips that would be really sweet. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind the way that sounds at all.
Good.
That sounds pretty good, although it depends on what kind of coffee you're, like, if it's Folgers or, like, Maxwell House or something, that does not, I don't want that.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a French press. I never use it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see how other people drink their coffee, like their perfect sip.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking we could either... I'm sorry. I smoke weed, but my throat is not good at it. I was trying to come up with, like, should it be like, do we want to know people's perfect sip? Do we want to do a poll where it's like cold brew versus, you know, creamy goo? Like, what's the most fun? Because I'm curious how people do what they do.
Yeah. There's so many different ways to drink coffee and, like, all around the world. I mean, like, Turkish coffee. Have you ever had a Turkish coffee?
It's sludge, right?
It's sludge. And it will. I remember having one when I was working on a film set. We did a night shoot, and I had one at, like, you know, I don't know, 6 or 7 in the morning to kind of power through the rest of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And at noon, when I was let go from set, I went home and I was trying to sleep, and my heart was just hammering in my chest because like so caffeinated. But they put mint in it, and sweet and sludgy with mint. And so one of my favorite coffees here in LA is at Phil's Coffee.
Ooh, yes.
The mint mojito.
I haven't tried it. Oh, that sounds delicious.
It's sweet and creamy and minty, and I want it so much. I think about it all the time, but if I had one every day, I would not be able to pay my rent. So
yeah, this week I'm gonna go get that and walk over to the Arclight and go see Ready Player One.
Ooh,
it's gonna be perfect.
That's gonna be good.
That's a day.
Yeah,
all right,
that is,
huh? Maybe I'll do that on your birthday.
Nice. Have fun. I don't want to do that at all.
Oh man,
maybe the coffee part.
How about perfect sip? Let's,
okay.
We'll come up with some polls where it'll be like black, you know, cream and sugar, and like three options.
Or like, fuck coffee, I only drink yerba mate because I'm like so healthy that I'm, you know.
My brother.
Yeah. Like, I don't poison my body with caffeine.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's option four. And we'll hashtag it, how do you drink your coffee? Perfect sip. And we'll see what people say.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be fun.
All right.
So it's not a competition between us. Now we're just like learning and crowdsourcing what's good.
Tell us what I can't wait.
Do they make weed?
Coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of different kinds.
Ooh, I would fuck with that.
I have not actually had any of it, but I think there are a few different kinds, and I don't know if I would fuck with it.
No?
Well, I drink coffee to start my day, and I can't get high first thing.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do stuff. I mean, it would be really nice, like if you're camping, that would be great, you know? Like have some weak coffee over the campfire and then like go for a long hike. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But like a cup of coffee in the morning that I'm having to get me going so I can just like power through the morning until I can start winding down. I couldn't add weed to that equation.
Yeah. Not even a sativa. Just like a nice morning bump.
Not an edible form. Unless it was super low dose, like maybe like, you know, 5 milligrams or something, maybe I could, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Maybe we can get some weed coffee and do a little taste test.
Oh, that would be
great. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be so fun.
Like a weekend kind of like brunch weed coffee taste test.
Sorry. It's so fun when you like crystallize it in your mind and then the sentence comes out the same way. Just like...
The words came out as the idea was happening in my brain. Yeah, that's how fast I'm working tonight.
So the topic that we were talking about on the walk when we were figuring this out is really interesting to me because I've been a bartender, but it was always at like a comedy club or something. So it was never really in the service industry. It was just a high volume place where I'm cranking out, you know, 400 drinks a night of this isn't that, mm-hmm. but it was not a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so we have been going out to eat with a bunch of different people lately, and you worked in restaurants mm-hmm. for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about all of the things that drive us bananas that other people do who we eat with, who I won't eat with certain people anymore because they don't know how to fucking be the truth when it comes to like enjoying a meal.
Wow.
So you were mentioning a couple of things that I had never heard before that drive you bananas.
Well, there are certain things that I just as a server, I was a server, I was a bartender. I bartended at a couple of really nice restaurants where you could eat full dinner at the bar. So I was doing dinner service as well as bartending. I managed, did a bunch of different stuff at a few different places. And most of the things that really bother me with dining partners are things that just bugged the fuck out of me when I was waiting tables or bartending, because there are things that people do that they don't think about, that somehow they think that like they're being helpful or that it doesn't matter or it doesn't bother you. Like stacking plates is the big one.
What do you, I do that.
Don't do it. Why? Don't do it.
I think I'm being the most helpful person on the planet.
I mean, you know, at a certain, like maybe at like a Crab Shack or something where like they're just, you know, high volume and trying to crank through and stuff, maybe stacking plates somewhere like that would be okay. But if you're eating at a place where the server is really paying attention to you, then, you know, you let them take care of your plates. Mm. And, you know, your server, if it's a place where they know what they're doing, they should be able to come over and bust your table or send a busser over to clear it all without you stacking them and sort of shoving them off to the side. Because the implication is, I mean, not only is it kind of not excellent table, like it doesn't look great to have a stack of plates on the table because then the table just looks dirty.
Yeah.
It's also an implication that the server is somehow not doing their job.
That's what I'm missing.
Yeah.
I think I'm being helpful, but from the outside in,
nope.
It looks like they're fucking up.
Yeah, it looks like you're telling them, like, okay, I'm done. Hello, get over here. And it's just, you know, especially not at, like, a really nice place. It's not a good look.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's such a good lesson.
Yeah.
Because if I was a GM and I saw a bunch of plates stacked up, I would definitely be like, yo, Roy, get over there.
Get over to table 38. They're, like, ready for their, you know, dessert course or whatever. Yeah, so don't stack plates. You know, I think obviously the sort of like common sense ones, but that some people don't know about, like, you know, waving someone down, flagging someone down.
My fucking friend did that. And mm-hmm. I just had to like let them know straight up, don't ever do that in front of me ever again.
Yeah, there's pretty much never a good time to flag anyone
Or a way to flag.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, don't put your hand, I don't know. It's just not.
What do you think about the check sign?
That's okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, sometimes I, you know, just like make eye contact with my table and they would give me the check sign and that's mm-hmm. totally fine. Totally, okay. Yeah.
Sometimes I hold up a huge wad of $100 bills and I go, hey, here, these are here.
Oh, get over here and get your money.
Is that okay?
No.
Okay.
But if you have a wad of $100 bills, you know.
I guess what if I take a mirror and I hold it up to the light above the table and I shine it in the server's eyes from across the room?
You know, reason to punch you out. I will come over and kick you out of the restaurant.
That's when they cut to like Will Smith and Fresh Prince being thrown out the front of the house. Have you ever seen that?
Yes!
It's like, what?
You get out!
Okay, so don't bring a mirror.
Don't bring a mirror. Don't wave your server down. Don't stack plates.
Okay, here's something I noticed at Providence that I started to get annoyed with myself about. Because it was a tasting menu, so we were doing multiple courses and little secret treats, and they have a rotating cast of people coming in, just depending on who's available to drop things at each time.
Right.
And everyone was incredibly knowledgeable, but I kept feeling compelled every time someone came in the room to also engage them or talk to them as they were like crumb sweeping or after they put the stuff down, I would ask a question. Like, I felt like I had to engage to show them how much fun I'm having.
Uh-huh.
And then I got annoyed with myself because I was like, they don't need to hear your fucking voice every fucking time they come in to talk to you to do their job.
It's so true.
Right?
Yeah. They can just come in and crumb your table and take your plate and, you know, yeah.
You don't have to say anything more than maybe thank you once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. You can just be polite. I mean, they're, you know, we're not there to make friends.
I forget that because I'm so excited mm-hmm. and I want to be their friend so badly mm-hmm. that I'm like, ooh, and now you're going to like me because we're, you know, and by the end of it, we're kicking it. And that's my dream.
I mean, you know, like we did have a great time with the gal who served us ceviche and margaritas and kind of was super friendly and like bought us around and stuff. And sometimes that just unfolds naturally when that vibe is there. But, you know, especially in a place like where, you know, you're doing like a fine dining tasting menu.
Yeah.
And they've probably got a lot of, they're under a lot of pressure and they're just trying to look as calm, cool, and collected as possible while uh-huh. dealing with like intense pressure from the kitchen and like trying to take care of all of their tables perfectly. They don't want to have a conversation with you.
No. And I stopped myself at mm-hmm. a certain point because yeah. I was just like, nope, they're just fucking carrots, dude. Mm-hmm. You don't need to ask anymore. Just enjoy it.
I mean, it is nice. I will say like, it's always nice to have someone that you're waiting on, like marvel at how wonderful everything is. There's never anything wrong with that. But yeah. like to engage and be like, you know where, like, so what's your name? And you know, like I got a lot of course, because I was like waiting tables and bartending in New York. It was a lot of like, so what do you do outside of here? Because mm-hmm. the assumption is that like no one working in a restaurant could actually work in a restaurant as a career, which was actually for the places that I was working at kind of offensive because some of those people were career servers.
Absolutely. We've been to some places where they've been there a really long time and they love it and they're great at it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh.
And they're making, I mean, you know, some of the career servers at some of the really beautiful restaurants in New York are, you know, doing better than accountants and lawyers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
And get to go to they're in some really cool circles
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, you hung out with like some cool psalms and stuff and when you were in New York, right?
That was amazing. Yeah, kicking it in New York for 4 weeks and eating my way through it and eventually becoming friends and going to like secret wine tastings and going to that bar that no one knows about that's open till 4 and they just put a bottle of cava in the middle of the table and they're just like, on the house because you're with these people. And I'm just like, I'm a fucking rock star.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's yeah. how it felt. That's really how it felt in the restaurant industry in New York.
Mm-hmm. They're living well.
Yeah.
They know all the best places and they're having the most fun.
It was fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, shout out. One of them is called Curious Imbiter and he's on IG.
What is his name?
Curious Imbiter. And he has great IG.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a crazy name.
Yeah, it's cool. And he's a great psalm. I think he works for one of Danny Meyer's restaurants,
uh-huh.
North and South, maybe, if I remember right. We were pretty fucked up. but the pictures he takes on his Instagram story are some of my favorites.
I gotta follow this guy.
Yeah, he's good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Cool.
The other thing that was really, I was catching myself with for restaurant etiquette
mm-hmm.
specifically is I love to clean my plate no matter what.
Okay.
Because I find it to be like, I don't know. It just feels important to clean my fucking plate.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, if I don't, I not only do I feel guilty, but in a place that's like upper crusty.
Uh-huh.
I told my brother he better eat more because he's going to insult the chef. Like, I got into it with him because I was like, bro. And he's like, it's good. I'm just full. I'm like, you can't be too full for a fucking tasting menu. And I really got like passionately annoyed. And he's not wrong. He's just like, it's great. I just don't want to eat anymore. And I'm like, but this is the most important thing in the world.
I guess I don't really know how. I don't think that that affects the servers at all. Apart from the fact that they might be going back to the kitchen and saying, chef, you know, table, whatever, is, you know, not finishing anything. And they, you know, because they just are so concerned with you having a wonderful culinary experience that if someone's not finishing anything, they're just going to worry about you.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have to, you know, you're paying for it. You do what you like with it.
I know.
If you have a bite and then you don't want the rest, that's okay. It's just a terrible waste. But,
yeah,
you know, and that's a different thing. But I don't think you need to worry about insulting the servers or the kitchen so much. I mean, they're professionals. They see all kinds.
How long has it ever taken you to order? I've eaten with people where the server has had to come back like twice because they still haven't made a fucking decision about what they even want to drink.
So I think that the mark of a truly wonderful server is that they're never going to come back too many times. They will read the table from far enough away where they'll be able to tell that you're ready to order. And this is a good thing. So if you are in a restaurant that has a menu that is... you know, like a book menu that you can close, you know, a closed menu is a sign that you're ready to order, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have like a paper menu and you're ready to order, you can always like just like put it down on your plate in front of you. Like as long as you're holding things, it looks like you're still considering. So that's like a great pointer for, you know, just ordering quickly. But I like Café Luxembourg, which is one of my favorite places that I worked in New York, had this sort of amazing flow where the servers could read the room. And more often than not, the people who were eating were like late night, you know, film stars and opera singers and, you know, big wigs from NBC and stuff who definitely didn't want to be disturbed too many times being asked if they were ready. And so the servers just had become so finely attuned to what the signs were that they were ready to order that they would just appear at the table when you were ready.
Were they all on mushrooms all the time?
It is a kind of magic.
Yeah.
It really is. It's,
wow.
They pull it off. There are a couple of servers there who have been there a long time and people specifically will, when they call to reserve a table, they'll say, please put me in Jamie's section or please put me in Slip's section.
Totally. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why I would bartend high.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I could like get into a zone and talk with people and I could like really feel like I had octopus arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool when you get into that zone. I love flying like that for sure. I remember a friend of mine though coming in one night when I was like in the zone flying, waiting on, you know, 10 different bar diners and also running the service bar and doing all that kind of stuff. And a friend of mine came in and she was kind of lit. And she sat down at the bar to like enjoy, you know, some late night fries and a glass of wine. And at one point she leaned over to me and she was like, I don't know why you ever complain about this job. Like, it just looks like you're having a great time. And I was like, that is a sign that I am good at my job.
Yeah.
It's not a sign that I'm actually having a great time. But
yeah.
Anyway, it was just funny. Frustrating.
You can work it.
Yeah.
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 Ooh, speaking of late night, you just made me flash on what you told me is one of your favorite like things to eat that I've been craving all week, especially because of what I have some great fucking weed right now.
Ah,
and
the best.
All I've been wanting to get recently is a meal that you told me you craved and we had, and it was so good, which was just red wine, like a juicy, juicy red wine, French fries, and some mayo for dipping. And just eating that late at night.
We had this?
After the sound bath.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the best late night snacks I have ever, ever had.
New to you?
Oh, one, mayonnaise with fries, 100%
new. That was a first for you?
I'd never had that before.
Oh.
That's a creamy dream. Like,
Yeah,
that made me like, I don't know, like my head became a candle and God blew it out. Like it was so good.
Oh, that's, okay. Well, anytime you want to get fries with mayo and a glass of red wine, I will go with you. It's my absolute favorite thing. Like, So the fries with mayo is, I think, specifically Belgian and French.
Okay.
And then when I was living in Montreal and I went to school, there's a place called Frites à l'Or that is all decorated. Do you know who Tintin is? Did you have that hair when you
Tintin?
Were like the comic
swirly
book?
Hair.
Yeah, the Hergé. Yeah. Comic book. So it's all decorated with like Tintin comics and stuff, and it's they just serve fries in paper cones, and they have different aiolis and main like flavored mayos as dipping sauces, like 10 different kinds. There's like, and that's just it. You just go and get hot salty cone of fries and 5 different kinds of mayo and house it.
Yes.
So good.
There's nothing better than a dip medley. Just a medley of dips to play with is the most fun,
the best,
most satisfying thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love a dip.
Top 5 dips for me for fries right now.
Don't say ranch.
Top 4 dips for me right now.
Please don't say ranch.
Top 4.
Get out.
Mayonnaise, for sure.
Okay.
Spicy ketchup.
Hmm.
I really dig Grey Poupon.
Okay.
With fries.
Yeah.
And then like an aioli, like a garlic aioli.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are my dips.
Yeah, I can fuck with the chipotle mayo too.
Totally.
Chipotle. How do you say chipotle?
Chipotle.
Chipotle. Chipotle mayo.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. There was a horseradish mayo, I think, the night that we went after the sound bath with Ryan to have the French fry experience. Yeah, I can dip a fry in any kind of mayo based anything.
Sour cream?
No. No.
Your eyes just like punched me.
Did they flash?
Yeah. No sour cream with a fry?
No. And God, you know, listen, I love blue cheese, but I wouldn't put blue cheese on my fries either.
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, béarnaise though. You can get if you get a steak frites and you get a side of béarnaise sauce, you could dip your fries in some béarnaise.
That's delicious.
That's good.
Oh shit. Just like swipe your fry over the top of that charred steak.
Ooh.
You know, where that butter is just laying.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right.
Okay. Is there anything else I do have one for you.
What?
So for my birthday.
Yeah.
I did a poll.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about cookie cake versus red velvet and all those things.
Yeah, right? I was so stoked to see that red velvet made an appearance at your party.
Yeah, so after Glazed, every act was tremendous. And then we all stood up and we all had a bunch of cake and it was all red velvet cakes. And that was the right choice, hands down. It was such a crowd pleaser. Nobody said no.
No.
Everybody was like, is it red velvet? Mm. Oh, yeah. Like everyone's voice got real high. What about for your birthday? Is there a special birthday cake or treat in your life?
Well, we're gonna go and eat at Felix.
Yeah.
And that is a big treat.
Yeah.
Just to go and have Italian food that's at one of the sort of like hottest restaurants happening right now in LA.
That Bestia? Like nobody can get a reservation at these places.
Yeah.
Very excited.
I actually just read a funny piece, I think it was in the New York Times, about how like the foodie hipster culture is ruining everyone's dining out experience because no one can get a reservation anywhere. Because everyone's like on Resy and on Open Table, just booking up everything. Because he's like, you gotta go. You gotta get a table at this place. And this kind of curmudgeonly food writer was like, it's no fun anymore. I can't get into any of the places that I want to go. Well, sorry. Those restaurants are doing well and people are having fun, so.
Yeah. Was that signed old?
Grumpy old man.
Grumpy old man.
Basically.
Sorry that we also enjoy food and want to experience great food.
Yeah, it was one of those funny, like, everyone just wants to take pictures of their food and Instagram about it. And I was like, yeah, for sure that exists, I think. But, you know, for the most part, I think it's people going to these restaurants to really enjoy eating the food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grumpus. Good Lord.
That sounds like something you complain to your wife about when she's in the other room. And then she just goes, uh-huh.
Like totally. Yes, dear. Please shut up.
Yeah. So what about cake, dessert, birth? Like, what do you want your candle in?
I, well, maybe tiramisu at Felix if they have like a traditional Italian something. I love a tiramisu.
Yeah.
Maybe if not, maybe on my actual birthday, which is the following day, like a good piece of key lime pie. I love key lime pie.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, you know, with like some heavy whipped cream and like a glass of champagne.
Ooh, that sounds good to me. That's a great hangover dessert.
Like key lime pie?
Yeah.
Because it's like crisp and kind of cuts through the fog.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah.
There's some great key lime pie here in LA too.
Yeah. Oh, for I haven't had key lime pie in LA yet.
Oh, there's great spots. Ooh. I mean, because everybody has a freaking lime tree in their front yard.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll go find some key lime pie for my birthday and then smoke one of those Henry's Original joints.
Ooh, yes.
You know?
Damn right.
Or some of that sativa.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Well, the next one after this, it'll have been both our birthdays, and we'll have brand new stories to tell and things to debate about.
Yeah. Like, what made you come in your pants this week? Have you been to Chispaca yet?
We absolutely need to. Should we have a section called, like, cum-worthy?
I don't know. That's a little...
That's too much?
I don't know. Maybe my mom might listen someday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But we are going to maybe drop some mini-sodes.
Oh, yeah. We have to. Yeah,
we've got to do... Like, I think we're going to have some outtakes and some fun fights that don't make it into our main stuff that we're going to drop as some mini-sodes. Maybe some, like, you know, if we can get some short interviews with some cool folks.
Yeah.
I think that we're going to... Yeah, we're going to start doing that, which will be great. So we'll, like, be coming to you maybe once or twice a week.
Heck, yeah. Growing and growing and growing.
Love it so much.
It's good.
Yep.
All right. I don't know. I kind of hit all of my,
I feel like
the buttons,
the mushrooms, like, are still sort of reverberating in my being right now, so that everything I'm doing and saying is just like kind of low key and, you know, chill. And like, that's our vibe. Like, we've hit our buttons.
Yeah.
We talked about the stuff.
We shroomed out of control.
We smoked some weed.
Yeah. And that's a pretty great episode in my life. You know what I'm saying?
It was fun.
Yeah.
For sure.
Freaking happy birthday, Mary Jane.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Let's go.
Let's go. Please like and subscribe, guys. We are growing. This is just the beginning for us. So we're at Weed and Grub on all socials. Mm-hmm. And you can leave a review and subscribe on Twitter. No, wait, what?
iTunes. Sorry.
Can you say it? I can't say it.
What she just said is perfect. Why would I say she when I should say you? And also, please play along with our fun little polls, because it really is an exciting, engaging thing just to get in beefs and also agree and share what people's thoughts are when it comes to coffee this week and sips.
Yeah. And you can also email us, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. But what is it?
I think it's weed. Sorry, guys. Oh, my God. I think it's weedandgrub@gmail.com. But listen, social media is fine.
Yeah, at Weed and Grub.
Oh, my God.
We definitely are still at Truth.
I feel I'm still seeing colors. Okay. We gotta go.
Bye.
Bye.